Greetings to you, and thank you for tuning in to the Joy of Discovery radio program today. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and I want to welcome you to this radio program that is brought to you and paid for by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. Today, we're coming back to our study that we started last week, the study in the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign. And if you have a Bible in front of you, you can open up to Genesis chapter 3. We're gonna do a little bit of review, then we'll get into the fall and Genesis chapter 3, because Genesis connects right with the kingdom. So that's where we're going today. Trust that it'll be a real blessing to you. Let's pray before we get started. Father, open our eyes, open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to have teachable spirits today. Help us to block out anything that's planned, maybe that is weighing heavy upon us. Just set that aside for now and be focused on what you want us to hear today. So bless the message, the listeners, thank you for them. Bless them in a special way, we pray, and we ask it all now in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we're going to cover a little bit of ground in Genesis 3, then we're going to go to chapter 10, and we're going to go to chapter 11, and we're going to go to chapter 12. So I didn't put all the verses on your paper tonight. Some of them we're going to have to turn there. But I will, in the beginning here, you get to Genesis 3, I'll read just a couple of verses. Better yet, turn back to Genesis 1. Let me just read 26 and 27 and 28. I don't know about you, but I think it is really hot in here tonight. I got this fan underneath me. I get this turned on. Okay, Genesis 1:26. Here's what it says. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Let's pray together. Father, bless our study tonight. Lord, we want to learn more. We want to know more about your plan and about your kingdom that you have that is yet future, that is coming, and why it is so essential that there be an earthly kingdom. So, Lord, bless our study tonight. Might we, whenever it's all done, might we be able to say it's truly been good to be in the house of the Lord, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about, if you see on the screen, some of it kind of blended into the globe. The earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ is our focus. There are two kingdoms mentioned, two of God's kingdoms mentioned in the scriptures. And tonight I'm going to back up a little bit, because I promised last week some of the people that I would do a review, because I study throughout the week. I spend my time on it, and I have a lot of time, and I bring it back and I dump it in about an hour. It's all out. And then, you know, you all got it, and it's like, you don't have a lot of time to digest it like I did through the week. So I figured that we would back up just a little bit, and I would review some things just to try and get them embedded in your mind so that you remember these things, you know these things. I'm so thankful for what we have here at the church with the means to be able to print out the notes, and then we have the media, the video or the audio if you want to go back and you want to re-listen. That is always that is always a good thing. I know myself that if I'm studying something and I can study it audio on an audio, I got to listen to it multiple times before I can really get my mind wrapped around it. So that option is there for you. But anyhow, last week, whenever we came together, we started to talk about the two different kingdoms that are in the Bible. And it's very important to keep those two separated. Watch the introduction. I'll just get to this real quick. Last week in our opening study of the kingdom, we looked at the two different kingdoms referenced in the Bible. One is universal, and it is eternal. It exists right now. In that kingdom, God rules directly in this kingdom as he exercises his sovereignty over the earth and the heavens. So Psalm 103:19, and if you pay attention to the wording, and this is vitally important, you can tell that this kingdom is present right now. It says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth," present tense, "over all." Not will rule, but ruleth over all. So this is talking about a present day kingdom. This is a universal kingdom. Daniel 4:17 says this, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High," see this, "ruleth," present tense, "in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." So that first kingdom, that universal kingdom, which is not the one we are studying, but I wanted to point it out, and we went in greater detail last week, that is a kingdom where God rules directly today. He is sovereign over all the affairs of this world. And so he is ruling today. Okay, so now watch the next paragraph. The other kingdom, which we looked at, is a future kingdom. This is the coming millennial kingdom. In this kingdom, God will rule through a theocratic administrator, and his name is Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the difference. Today, God rules directly himself in the coming kingdom that will be on the earth, that will be established at the end of the tribulation period. In that kingdom, he will rule through a man, okay, who is Christ. Watch Psalm 2, 1, or 6 through 9. It says, "Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." So he will rule that kingdom with a rod of iron in that coming millennial kingdom. Let me go to the next line. Here we see that in the coming kingdom, God will rule through a person, and the person will be his son, Jesus Christ. And you see it in Isaiah 9. 6 and 7, when Isaiah wrote this, he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So you have in that coming kingdom, God rules, but not directly. He rules through a man, through Jesus Christ. In the present kingdom, God rules directly, not through a human instrument, not through a, as the title that I've told you that you need to hold on to, a theocratic administrator. So watch the next line. "When this millennial kingdom comes, it will come suddenly in order to destroy all the kingdoms of this world." This is really important. Daniel 2:44 says this, "And in the days of these kings," that statement right there is referring to the 10-king confederacy under the Antichrist. So "in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." I want to pause for a moment for this reason. There are a lot of people today in what's known as the emergent church. You hear a lot of terminology today that it's called kingdom now theology. There are a lot of people believe that we are in the kingdom today. I know people that believe that. They believe that the kingdom is already here and we are in it. So what they say is this: in that theology, what happens is you lose sight of the urgency to preach the gospel, and it turns into more of a social gospel. Because what they believe is that the influence of the church, and we're going to get into this as we go along, they believe the influence of the church is going to change the world, and gradually things are going to progress and they're going to get better, and then Jesus Christ is going to come back. That is not what Daniel 2:44 teaches. by any means. Number one, the kingdom doesn't come until the days of the Antichrist at the end of the tribulation. Number two, this kingdom will come and break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms of this world. That is a sudden coming. That is not something that is gradually coming in. That in the vision, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar seen this stone made without hands that came flying in, and it struck the statue and it smashed it into pieces. That is a sudden coming of the kingdom. That's the kingdom that we're looking at. But I say all that about this whole kingdom now theology, that you have to be very careful. That is where the prosperity gospel comes in. Where people will stand up and say, well, God wants you to be wealthy and he doesn't want you to be sick. And that is connected with, and now you'll begin to see the picture, with that kingdom now theology. People that believe that we are in the kingdom now, and you look at what the Bible says about the kingdom. So they say, well, God doesn't want anybody to be poor. God wants everybody to have everything that they need and have it in an abundance. And all you got to do is you got to name it and you got to claim it. Because we're in that kingdom. That's basically what they are saying. So you see the error in all of that, in what it does. So we'll talk more about that as time goes on. So anyhow, two different kingdoms. That one that we're going to study, the theocratic kingdom, the millennial kingdom of Christ, is a kingdom that will come in suddenly on this earth at the end of the tribulation period. And it'll destroy all the kingdoms of this world. That brings me now to God's original design. Okay, so watch this. Last week we looked at Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And in these verses, we were able to see God's original design. So let me show you. I read them for you so you can follow along in the Bible. Or you can look here because I have underlined and bolded some things. And this is what we talked about last week. When God created man, it said, God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over dominion over the fowl of the air. And you could put the word dominion in there, dominion over the cattle, dominion over all the earth, and dominion over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So when God started out, when that creation took place, this was a theocratic kingdom. Adam was the theocratic administrator. That was God's original design. That's what we talked about last week. Adam and Eve would rule as a team over God's creation. That was God's original design. That's where everything is headed to now. All of history is working toward that to get the world back to that. That's what we're looking at in this study. But this was the way that it was originally designed. Watch your paper. God created the world, and on the sixth day created man, Adam and Eve, to be the theocratic administrators over his creation. So you see right there that that was his will for that to be. Okay, but then you keep reading in the book of Genesis, and you come to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, which is where I want you to come to right now. And there you have the fall. So watch 3:1. Now watch this. 3:1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, if God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Last week we talked about this. Why did Satan come as a serpent? He's an angel. He could have really come in any form, I guess, that he wanted to come, but he came in a form of a serpent. And so the question is, why is that? And we often read over that real quick, but the reason is because man was given dominion over creation, over the animals. Satan wanted to overthrow that kingdom. So he comes as a serpent to basically disrupt the order that God has established, to overthrow that kingdom. That's why he comes as a serpent. Adam and Eve were given the authority, given the dominion over all of creation. That's what we looked at. If I show you on the screen right now, he had dominion over all, over everything, over all the earth, and so all of creation. And then last week we talked about how Adam named the animals. Naming the animals, when you name something, that shows the authority over it. As a parent, you had the authority to name your children because you have authority over the kids. So with him naming the animals, that showed that he had the authority over all of creation. So Satan comes, he comes as a serpent to disrupt this theocratic kingdom that God has established. Watch your paper again. I'll figure out where I'm at here. Satan came to Eve as a serpent because it was his desire to overthrow the theocratic kingdom. That is exactly what happened. Watch 11, Genesis 3, 11 through 13. Watch this. And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Wherefore, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." So the hierarchy is completely disrupted. God had given man speaking of the position, the hierarchy. You had the man and the woman, and they were to rule over all of creation. Now that's been turned upside down. Watch your paper. When Adam and Eve sinned, it completely disrupted the hierarchy that God had established. And from the time the sin happened, the theocratic administrator disappeared from the earth. Adam lost his position and Satan became the God of this world. That's exactly what happened. Right there, we read through it and we say sin entered the world and there was a fall, and you go on and you read about the curse that came, and then you go to chapter 4 and you read about Cain and Abel, and Cain kills Abel, and then God gives him Seth, and the line is continued through Seth, and you follow that out to the flood, and then after Noah gets off the ark, then you go into the Tower of Babel, then the Table of Nations, then you go into Abraham. We go all through that and we miss what is being said in the midst of it. And so what we need to understand is now when you come here to 11 through 13 of Genesis chapter 3, the theocratic administrator has been eliminated in the sense that he no longer holds that position because the hierarchy has been overthrown. Now, watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So from that time forth, Satan became the God of this world. Let me show you. Let's just look at a few verses to see how much reign he's got. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says this, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." 1 Peter 5, 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So he's got this free reign now to roam the globe, to go across the globe and to then lead people in a rebellion against God is the freedom that he has. Watch the next line. "We can clearly see the free reign that Satan has in this world because the theocratic administrator has been taken away." How about Job 1, 6 and 7? It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." One guy said, that is a boast. He's boasting. This is the freedom that I have. This is what I can do. Because you don't have a theocratic administrator. You have nobody now that is ruling over your creation. You have nobody. So now I have this free rein to walk to and fro in the earth. And as Peter said, he's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So let me go back to 3:1. He knew what he was doing. His goal was to disrupt that hierarchy, to stop that kingdom from coming. That was his goal, or from continuing. It was already there, but he wanted to stop it. He wanted to overthrow it. So that's kind of what we talked about last week. So God's plan now is that that kingdom is going to be established. And there will one day be a theocratic administrator, Jesus Christ, who will rule and reign. Now, last week I told you that in this first one, in this establishment right here in Genesis chapter 3, you had Adam and Eve that ruled as a team. So I raised the question last week, well, where's Eve at in the picture of the future one? Because you have Jesus Christ, and that's where we come in as the bride of Christ. You understand that? We replace Eve, so to speak, in that. And we will rule and reign with him in that kingdom. So that is the ultimate goal. And so as you go through the Bible and you know what to look at and you understand this from the beginning, you can see that God is working throughout history to establish that kingdom. And we're going to see that as we go through tonight. And that's where, in the world in which we're in today, I told you this last week, you and I are going to rule and reign with him in that kingdom. Everything that happens in your life and in my life right now is preparation for your position in that kingdom. Everything. To me, that's exciting. To me, it just to stop and to think about the fact that what happens in my life right now is prepping me for what is to come in that kingdom and what I'm going to do in that kingdom and the position that I'm going to be given. I don't know what it'll be. I told you last week, if it would be a job sweeping the streets, and it won't be that, but if it would be, that would be great, just to be in the kingdom and do that. But we will rule and reign with him. So you're going to have a position. So what he does right now, he takes us through things in life that preps us, and I don't know how the connection is made. I don't know, like the things that you've went through and the heartache that you felt and the pain that you felt. You say, how does that pertain to the kingdom? And I say, I don't know. I'm not God. His ways are far above my ways. His thoughts are far above my thoughts. But all the pain, all the heartache, all the difficulties, all the mountains that we talked about this morning, the times when the grace has just held you and you've held by nothing but grace in the midst of those situations, that is all a preparation for what you are going to do in the kingdom. That's what it is. He is prepping you for that position in the kingdom. That brings me now to basically where we're at tonight, God's current plan. So watch this. Since the fall, God has been working to restore the kingdom that was lost in Eden. This then raises a question. Why does there need to be an earthly kingdom? Why? Because there are a lot of people that deny that there is, that they will deny a 1,000-year reign of Christ. So why in the world does there have to be an earthly kingdom? Was not you can look at the empty tomb and say, wasn't Christ victorious there? What does there have to be an earthly kingdom? And the answer is yes. Watch this. There must be an earthly kingdom because it was on this earth that the original kingdom was lost. He must restore the kingdom in the same arena where it was lost. Otherwise, he's been defeated. Let me go on. Let me show you the words of Ryrie here, and I quote, "Why is an earthly kingdom necessary? Did he not receive his inheritance when he was raised and exalted in heaven? Is not his present rule his inheritance? Why does there need to be an earthly kingdom? Because he must be triumphant in the same arena where he was seemingly defeated. His rejection by the rulers of this world was on the earth. His exaltation must also be on this earth. And so shall it be when he comes again to rule this world in righteousness. He has long awaited for his inheritance. Soon he shall receive it." Unquote. He's got to rule and reign. There has to be an earthly kingdom to restore what was lost in Genesis chapter 3. Otherwise, Satan is the victor, and he has stopped the theocratic kingdom. Let me go on. The bottom line is that if the kingdom is not restored to the earth and Satan wins, watch the words of Pentecost, and I quote, apart from the reign of Christ here on the earth and apart from his rule, God's purpose for man would never be brought to conclusion. God's purpose for the earth would be unrealized, and the problem generated by Satan's rebellion would never be resolved. Thus, the physical, literal reign of Christ on earth is a theological and biblical necessity unless Satan is victorious over God, unquote. There has to be a theocratic kingdom. There has to be. So I say all that to say this. Don't let somebody try to tell you that there will not be a thousand-year reign of Christ. And there are a lot of people out there, and that's what they will say. They do not believe Revelation chapter 20. They don't take that literally. Whenever it talks about the 1,000 years, that Satan is bound for 1,000 years. A lot of people think Satan got bound at the cross. Those that believe the kingdom now theology, many of them believe that he is bound right now. My question is, what in the world am I battling with? If he has been bound at the cross and has not had free reign, and his demonic spirits don't have free reign, then what in the world's all this trouble that I have faced multiple times in my life? Where's that coming from? So, anyhow, there has to be an earthly kingdom, and I want you to understand that. That's why, as we go through the Bible, you're going to see that that's the direction that everything is going. Now, let me show you the promise. Watch this. Watch Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. I wish we had more time today, but we're out of time. So we will pick that message back up next week. Just as a reminder to you, if you would ever desire a copy of any of our CDs, they're free. All you need to do is write to us. Make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. Also, another option, I'll give you the address here in a moment, but another option is our website, ClaysburgBibleChurch.com. ClaysburgBibleChurch.com. Everything's on our website. It's all archived on there if you want to tap into that. But if you want a CD to play in your CD player, write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.